This weekend's Michigan-Ohio State game not only focuses attention on one of the longest, deepest rivalries in college sports, it reminds us anew that Michigan and Ohio have been at loggerheads for the better part of 200 years. Exhibit A, the Toledo War of 1835. But there's so much more. Let's find out how and why these two neighbors have had such a testy history. Alan Naldrett is with us. He's author of Forgotten Tales of Michigan's Lower Peninsula. Alan, this rivalry, it goes back to even before Michigan became a state, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, way back. In fact, the original Toledo War was over this tiny strip of land that was Toledo that wasn't even considered valuable until canals started to come around. And then suddenly Ohio decided we better include this in the Constitution that we're writing so that the land is ours. Although way before their Constitution, in the 1787 Northwest Ordinance, the boundary had already been set up, and it was very widely known that it was Michigan territory. And in fact, Michigan was governing the area and was part of Monroe County.
As you say, no one cared a whole lot until geographically that port of Toledo became very important.
This guy actually wrote a book about how Toledo was going to be the greatest city in the world because of its location, because of canals. And the Erie Canal was just starting, and everything was going great because of now they could go faster from one area to another. It was great transportation. And ironically, by the time the whole Toledo War blew over, nobody really cared about canals. It was the big time of the railroad came in. So,
well, it kind of seems that Ohio was trying to game the system when it applied for union to the Union for statehood.
Not only that, they took Michigan and would not let us literally become a state. They blocked Michigan's petition to become a state until we would agree to the border of Toledo, until we would give them the area that was the Toledo Strip, which already had four post offices in it that were Michigan post offices.
I loved how you described in your book, Forgotten Tales of Michigan's Lower Peninsula. They kept drawing new maps, and they kept sending more people in to try to do that. And, of course, it was much more difficult back then in the early 1800s.
Exactly. And their solution was just, well, let's go survey it again. And depending on who gave them the directions, the line would come out however they decided it would be.
Now, you tell us one of the biggest reasons behind this Toledo War of 1835 is a man named Major Benjamin Stickney. Quite an eccentric gentleman, as witness the names he gave his two sons.
Oh, one and two Stickney, yes. You would think that they would change their names, but no, I have a picture of two Stickney's tombstone, and he kept two. But also, his daughters were named after states. His daughter Mary was really Maryland. He had a daughter named Indiana, who appeared in accounts quite a bit afterwards, and a daughter named Florida.
Tell us who he was and why he was important to that area, and how did he help drive the war?
Major Benjamin Stickney was an honorary major, but it didn't stop him from using it for the rest of his life. Took the initiative to really settle Toledo. He was the person who wanted to have Port Lawrence originally. When that failed, he started Vistula. Those two settlements basically got together and formed Toledo. And Stickney was the guy that was first for Michigan, and then when it was to his advantage and everyone else's, he figured, well, Michigan's never going to be a state. We better be with the state. Now, then he got everybody to go for Ohio that he knew, and they kept doing surveys, like you said. Where should we be? Should we be in Michigan or should we be in Ohio?
Now tell us about the war, and you paint a pretty comical picture of the Toledo War of 1835.
Well, one of my impetuses for actually writing it was the seriousness with which it was usually treated in history books earlier. And I couldn't understand how you could seriously treat both states. Michigan was a territory at the time, put together militias to fight each other, and then both militias got lost in the Great Black Swamp and never even engaged in a battle. In fact, they were lost for like a week. The closest they got was yelling taunts at each other, across the Maumee River. Now, that is the way to have a war, I think, but that's basically what it was.
No blood was shed. And where was the Great Black Swamp?
Great Black Swamp is pretty much has been drained now, but Michigan was originally considered the land of egg and ills and malaria. Got a really bad reputation. In fact, one of the first people that surveyed it and gave the land to Ohio was Edward Tiflin, who said that Michigan wasn't worth anything, just a big swampland. Actually, the Great Black Swamp was part of that swamp area, pretty much right around Toledo in that area.
Hmm. Now, how did
Lucas
County. How did the fight over Toledo ultimately get resolved? Who got what?
Well, Michigan was in limbo, actually, really, for 1836, the whole year of that. Jackson put his foot down and
Jackson mean President Andrew Jackson, Old Hickory.
Yes. Jackson insisted that we settle it, and the way that he would do it would be to give Michigan the Upper Peninsula, that vast wasteland, as we thought. Actually, it was two-thirds of the Upper Peninsula. We were already going to get Sault Ste. Marie. That was undisputed. That was Michigan part. But we'd have to give up the Toledo Strip. When they first took a vote on it, the Convention of Dissent, they voted that, no, we're not going to do that. And so after that, there was no provision set up for anything else. And it was really pretty much an illegal convention held here in Ann Arbor, the Frostbitten Convention, it was called, because it was held in the dead of winter in January 1837. And it was also held in the building that was having malfunctioning heat.
So they were freezing.
Yes. So they very quickly decided, because they'd been in limbo all of 1836, they didn't know if they were a territory or state then. They sent people to the Congress, and Michigan was accused of trying to break into the Congress, and they wouldn't let anybody actually vote or do anything. And then from there, they finally did agree, okay, we'll take the Upper Peninsula, which, you know, turned out great for Michigan.
And we'll let Ohio have Toledo.
Yes.
And these days, here we are carrying on this tradition with the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry and also the Tigers and the Cleveland Indians. So we're working that testiness out today in sports.
In fact, the Ohio people always thought the Wolverine was a dirty, smelly animal. So they called the Michiganders Wolverines in the Toledo War. It was pretty much where the phrase started. Michiganders embraced it, though. They would say, hey, on behalf of the Wolverines, we arrest you, when they would arrest people. And they would embrace it because the Wolverine was this tenacious little animal that could take these big animals on, and it did. So Michigan became the Wolverines. And when it came time to have a football game between U of M and Ohio State, you can believe that Michigan had more than football on their mind as they were fighting against the Ohio Staters. So Michigan really, for many, many years, had the advantage in that battle.
Alan Naldrett, whose book is Forgotten Tales of Michigan's Lower Peninsula, Turn Over the Stranger Side of the Mitten's Past. Very fun to talk with you, Alan. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cynthia.